Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
My subject today is feelings that interfere with faith, subtitled, Don't Lose Your Sensitivity to the Spirit. Don't lose your faith because you've had some bad feelings. We all know that emotions can get the best of us in the flesh, but we don't need to let it get the best of our faith. Trust still works when pain is severe, when the problems seem insurmountable, when it feels like everything is crumbling around you. Trust still guides you down the road when everything is blurry and full of discouraging spirits. Genesis 27:1 says, And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so I pause here to say, he can't see what he used to see. And Proverbs 29:18 said, Where there is no vision, the people perish. The verse continues, So that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. So he can't be what he used to be. Now therefore, verse 3, I pray thee, take thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, let's look at this. First of all, venison in verse 3 is a word in the Hebrew that became, over time, associated with hunting deer. At first, it really was about any wild game, but usually that wild game had to do with deer. And then in verse number 4, he wants savory meat. Now think about this. The future was tied to the flesh, and he wants to eat. And here's the thing. When spiritual things are connected to human desires, deception has an open door. Isaac wanted to taste something from the world before he gave a word. And in the long run, my friend, that seldom, if ever, works for a spiritual kingdom. And so the blessing that was going to come to Esau, his firstborn, was predicated on this savory meat, on Isaac tasting of that savory meat. Now, here's the thing. The blessing and the birthright were really two different things. Now, we know that from the previous chapter and episode of Jacob persuading Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of beans, that's already been settled. But what you have to understand is that the birth rate had to do with wealth and properties based on the accumulation of the past, based on inheritance, based on family and generational possessions, something that could be passed down. But the blessing had everything to do with the future. Lands, possessions, victories, wealth, posterity, prosperity that would be given by God. So we thank God for our birthright. We thank God for the Acts 2:38 foundational doctrine. We thank God for the fundamental tenets of holiness that we teach through apostolic doctrine. These are our birthrights, if you will. But the reason that God can bless us in taking new territories, the reason that God can take us in setting captives free in lands that haven't been reached yet, and in times that we haven't come to, is because we have this birthright. We are honest and have integrity to the birthright, but we also know that we need that same character. We need that same conviction. We need that same drive of scriptural excellence in order to get the blessings of the future. So then verse 5 tells us that Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau's son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake to Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, and when he eats it, he's going to bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, well, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went, and he fetched, and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Rebekah took good raiment of her eldest son Esau, and she put it on Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, so that when Jacob went in and presented himself in an ostentatious manner, Isaac at first would be confused because the voice sounded like Jacob. And yet when Jacob went near, he would reach out and he would feel the roughness of the hair. He would smell the scent of the field on Jacob, and he was convinced that it was Esau. So here's the situation today. I want to talk to you about habitual feelings, feelings that interfere with faith. Isaac trusted what he had been used to feeling, the hairy garment, the smell of the field, the gruff expectations of a hunter. And we have to be careful of habit-forming desires in this generation that leads us away from the certainty of apostolic doctrine. We cannot give up the certainty of truth for the sensual things of the world. We cannot give up the certainty of truth for the seductions of evil. We cannot give up the certainty of truth for a season of success in this temporary world. Just because you feel it, my friend, doesn't mean you should say it, partake of it, or create a new belief system based on the power of that feeling. In the kingdom of God, it's faith first, feelings last. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So in order to overcome these habitual feelings, the things that we can get used to feeling, the emotions we can get used to having, and how those things over time can secularly and seductively interfere with our apostolic faith and with our most important anchors and principles of character in our life, we have to understand that there are some things going on in the invisible realm that we have to trust. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So first of all, the discernment of the supernatural is based on faith, not feelings. It's based on faith. It's not based on what we can see. It's not based on sensual feeling. It's based on the Word of God, what we've heard in the Word of God, the principles of truth, even when the passion has run out, the principle of truth, even when our preferences cannot be found, the principles of truth, even when our purity and motives has been stained. It doesn't change the principles of truth. So the discernment of the supernatural is based on faith. Then we have 2 Corinthians 1:24 that says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Didn't say by flesh, didn't say by feeling, didn't say by fears, by faith. And so secondly, the decision to stand is based on faith. Not only the discernment of the supernatural, but the very decision that you are going to have some tenacity when it comes to your grasp on the truth. You are going to be anchored in the everlasting Word of God. You are going to be immovable in the instruction of righteousness. You are going to make your stand, no matter how stressful it may seem around you, because it's based on faith, not temporary feeling. Then we have Romans 8:24-25. Paul says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So thirdly, the distinction to stay is based on faith. You don't stick around if you don't have patience. You don't stick around if you're not willing to wait on the better things that come from God. How often do we settle for the shortchanged, for the deluded, for the shortcuts? And then we end up dissatisfied and discontented because we end up with an earthly substitute, and nothing can satisfy us like the true presence of God and the blessings that come from God. And so we have to be willing to wait for those things that come from God. So the distinction to stay is not based on feeling. How many of us would have already walked away if it was just based on feeling? Because there are many times you continue to do the things that you know are right to do, not because you feel like doing them. Sometimes you wake up with the headaches, but you keep believing and trusting God. Sometimes your body is weighted down with affliction, but you keep trusting and waiting on the Lord. So the distinction to stay is based on faith. Then we have 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 that says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So fourthly here, the darkness coming to light is based on faith, not feeling, not fears, not the flesh, but faith. Because one day the things that confuse us now will come to complete clarity. It's almost as if God will take a ball peen hammer and just tap it on that glass. It'll shatter into a million pieces. But that's in the future. So we understand that there are some things that happen around us that cause us to shrug our shoulders, that cause us at times to even question our faith. But in a time of fervent prayer, in a time of surrender to the will of God, in a time of submitting our feelings to a greater understanding of God's perspective, that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that we trust Him. So the darkness coming to light is based on faith. Then we have 1 Peter 1 and 8 through 9. It says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So number five, the destiny of salvation is based on faith. Again, not feeling, not fear, not the flesh, but faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many people are discouraged today because they're not seeing what they want to see? And the perceptions of their pain has overwhelmed the promises of the Word of God for them. They've given in to the severity of the circumstances, and they no longer trust the Lord like they once did. And we all go through those moments when the circumstances and the situations that we're fighting through, and the human feelings and the human dilemmas, the things that we had put our confidence in, but it let us down. But we realize at the end of the day, none of the things of this world can save us, and none of the things on the journey will save us. Only Jesus can save us. So if we trust in the one who can save us, then the destiny of our salvation will be based on that faith. Every step that we take, every mile that we endure, every season or every storm or every hill that we have to climb, and every stumbling place along the way, we continue to have that durability of our faith and the stamina that we need to finish, because we know that it's based on faith, not feeling. And then we have 1 Peter 5 and 8, where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So number six, the determination to resist is based on faith. And so I wonder why many have lost their determination. It's because they've given over to feelings, bad feelings, hurt feelings, helpless feelings, hopeless feelings, feelings of anger, feelings of bitterness, feelings of resentment, feelings of shame, feelings of guilt, and on the list runs endlessly. But we must have a determination that comes by our trust in the Word of God, that comes by our rest, whereby the weary are made to rest in the Word of God, that comes by an unction of understanding. You see, there's one thing to have understanding, but understanding is limited if it's based on secular seeking, if it's based on human ability or intelligence. But then there's the unction of understanding. That's what comes to us by the Holy Ghost. God gives us an ability to see things, to understand things that heretofore would have been confusing to us. And so we stand on the Word of God. We continue to go on in the Word of God. We are not weak. We are not frail. We are not merely anemic and fragile, but we have a determination. We have this understanding that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so our determination to resist the enemy is based on faith. Now, going back to this occasion in Genesis 27, where Jacob goes in disguise, he's put on apparel that makes him feel like Esau. He couldn't quite disguise his voice enough, but there's something I want you to see. Remember, Isaac asked his son Esau to go out and hunt the wild game, bring him back venison. But Rebekah instructs Jacob to take goat to his dad. So think about this. Isaac asked for venison, but he got goat. Venison was wild game, again, associated over time with hunting deer. So the taste of the goat was disguised to resemble deer. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The taste test, my friend, is failed when we trust the wrong feelings. We end up settling for doctrinal goat when God wants to give us the true venison of his will. We swallow the philosophies of the world as if they are the same thing as God's unmatched promises. We pursue experiments in the name of freedom. We exercise liberties because we believe we can do what we want without consequences. We lose intimacy with God because we've been convinced that sensual things of the world are equal substitutes. We bless the things that God would curse. We evoke conclusions and content and commentary based on sensations, sensations that can cause us to lose our sensitivity to the Spirit. The more you repeatedly ignore the conscience, the more desensitized you and I can become to the wiles of the devil. And we try things that we should avoid. We incite patterns of behavior that could be avoided if we simply followed the instructions of the Word of God. The everlasting word becomes subject to temporary satisfaction when we trust our feelings over faith, when we make the mistake that Isaac made here, when he fell for the deception of meat that had been seasoned in a way that it tasted like the real thing that he was waiting for. He was waiting for venison, and he got goat. Now, here's something else. The Bible said in Genesis 27 and 22, Isaac recognized that the voice was Jacob's, but the hands were the hands of Esau. The voice said one thing, but he felt another. He felt something different than what he heard. And if we aren't careful, we do the same thing. We fall for the same tricks, we fall into the same traps. We trust our own instincts, but they betray us. We listen and know what we've heard to be the truth, and then within moments, we succumb to human emotions. We surrender the high ground of truth for a lie. We erase the influences of what we heard, and our feelings take over. Our fears interfere. Our eccentricities get the better of us. Our emotions get the better of us. The things that we love in the kingdom of God suddenly become secondary to the things that we desire in the world. And so we stop paying attention to the instructions of the Word of God, and we give ourselves over to the inspiration of feeling. And that's where the nightmares come. That's where we get misguided and we get off track. And these things of the world begin to take over. Our misguided sentiment overrides the Spirit. Opinion takes the steering wheel and detours us away from obedience, and we end up going down a dead-end road. And so we know the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the contrasting thought would be, what comes by feeling? Misdirection. You think you're headed in a certain direction because you feel good about it, but then you find out quickly it's a war zone of ballistic bitterness and tank-driven anxieties. Just don't go there because it feels right. It needs to be right. Don't just take a turn because your gut said so. It needs to be rooted in truth. What else comes by this sensory leading of feeling? Inaccuracy. It's just a little off. but you go for it anyway. Something doesn't quite sound right, but the feeling for adventure or risk trumps the spiritual sense. The discernment is picking up something suspicious on radar, but you ignore it because you're in the mood for something mysterious. And then it turns out what was on the radar was indeed an attack squadron from hell. And once again, you are in a war of desperation to make it out of the minefields of feelings. And what else can cause us to override faith and interfere with the Word of God through faith? I'll tell you, it's imitations. Sometimes to overcome our limitations, we settle for imitations. You don't have the money for a Rolex, so you pay $10 for the fake one on the corner. And in the spiritual world, we too often call it the voice of God when it was really our own disguised voices speaking. And so we think the fake will pass off for the factual. We think the human impressions can find the same value as prophecies and scriptural mandates. We can convince ourselves that what we have felt is real. It's true, it's authentic, and we begin to dress it in character. We begin to disguise it to play a certain role, and it plays the part. It satisfies our imaginations, but it leaves the heart bare and disappointed. How many athletes over the last 30 years have been eventually disgraced because they were exposed for taking synthetic enhancements? It seemed they really had a strength and an ability and an endurance that turned out to be a drug-induced lie. Well, let us, the Church of the Living God, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us run this race with patience, not satanic painkillers, if you will. Let us stay in the lanes of truth and not follow the shortcut paths of misleading feelings. Because remember, Jesus said there is a way, a broad way, that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in thereat. Because it follows majority opinion, because they see the crowd going in that direction, because peer pressure is pushing them in that direction. But there is a gate that is straight, and there is a way that is narrow, and few there be that find it. But when we humble ourselves before God, when we surrender ourselves to the authentic Word of God, when we decide to submit to the will of God over the whims of the world and over feelings, and to trust the Lord with our faith, then we can find that path and we can walk that path, and God will give us the durability to make it to the very end. And so my prayer for somebody listening to this today is that God will give you the strength to override your feelings. God will give you the trust past the bitterness, past the resentment, past the shame, past the guilt, past the depression, past the anxieties, past the tears that you've shed and the sadness that has come or the grief that you may still be going through. I pray that God will give you faith that overrides those feelings, that your feelings and the bad feelings you've had recently would not interfere with your faith, would not interfere with the fulfillment of the promises of God in your life. I pray for somebody today to have an Acts 2:38 experience. I pray that somebody would have a river of the Holy Ghost that would flow out of you today, an experience with God that brings a multiplicity of blessings, and to know that no matter what you're facing, or no matter what you're hearing, or no matter what you're feeling, or how many times you've fallen or felt like a failure, that God's love will override that, that God's mercy will continue to merge you into His perfect will, that you can trust the Word of God, that as you hear the counsel of the Lord today, as you begin to have an understanding of the Word of God that is better than any sensual feelings, any sensory perceptions, it's a Word of God that will truly lead you in the driest of times and in the darkest of nights. He'll be that light. He'll be that hope. I pray that if you need repentance, that you'll make that change and ask God for forgiveness, that you'll be filled with the Spirit of God and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you truly will become a disciple of the Lord in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of our God is going to stand forever, and He wants you to stand in faith in Jesus' name.
Oh, Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.